Right now, you're listening to the Azeem Digital Asks podcast, the podcast where I, Azeem, talk to some of the top marketers in the industry, find out everything about them, how they got to where they are today, and more importantly, sharing some really useful marketing tips that will help everybody listening to this become better marketers. Stay tuned for another great episode. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Azeem Digital Asks podcast. Really excited to bring you my guest today. God, we've had some difficulties making this happen. We've had some tech problems, and way before that we had some email problems. I'm convinced one of our email systems didn't like each other. Basically, the universe conspired to not let this happen, and we've made it happen. So that aside, brilliant guest for you today. She's the head of SEO at Erudite Agency. She's a future counsellor, and she's also a judge at the Drum Search Awards. She's the awesome Miracle Inameti Archibong. Miracle, hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Azeem. I'm really glad we could make this happen.
We got there in the end, didn't we? We got there. How's it going?
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. We're making the best of things.
Good stuff. Right, so we're going to talk all about your awesome blog post and the survey that you ran about how progressive the digital marketing industry is. But I wanted to talk to you first about yourself, and then even before that, a very sort of quick icebreaker just to break you and warm you up for the show. So yours is that you've got your own late night talk show. Who would you invite as your first guest?
Oh, I thought about this and I was like, oh, it has to be like Obama or someone, isn't it? It has to be someone like prestigious and, you know, that makes everyone want to. If I had him on, I probably wouldn't know what to say. I'd just stare at him. Just be like in awe of him. Just be like, oh my God. But yeah.
Nope, yeah, fair answer.
I think there's a statement he made that really resonates with me, and I don't know if I think this is true, but he said that one of the reasons he pushed to be like president and followed through with his ambitions is because he just wanted everyone to realize that like an ordinary everyday person that wasn't special could do great things. And that was just like, well, I don't think he's ordinary. I'm sure he's definitely in the special category, but that statement, it was just so, yeah, that just resonated with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if he wasn't now, he definitely is now, by all means, definitely special now. So yeah, rapidly Googling, can we get him back? I'm sure his wife would disagree, but anyway, we'll move on. Miracle, for anybody who doesn't know who you are, firstly, shame on them. And secondly, would you like to give an even better introduction to yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh God, I don't know if I can do a better job, but yeah, I've been in the industry for about over 10 years now, just about that. And I've always worked agency side. I'm, as you said, head of SEO at Erudite. I've been here from like, you know, the first Penguin Panda update, started with keyword research and then got into tech SEO. I just recently started speaking, to be honest. My first speaking gig was in 2018 at Brighton SEO. So relatively new to the whole speaking and being out there kind of industry. So yeah, it's been an interesting ride, and I'm pleased I'm getting involved, because I just put a tweet out after reading your article, and I didn't really see like diversity and inclusion. Yes, I knew it was important, but I wasn't really like deliberate and conscious about it, because I think growing up in Nigeria, I knew I was always amongst black people. So being black and being that was never like a conscious identity, but only like coming here, like migrating to a new country makes you realize how different you are and how much you don't belong and how much you feel that need to belong. And it's only like watching my daughter growing up without that identity of being surrounded by black people and struggling to really love herself. I think that was quite shocking to me, because I thought my natural confidence would just rub off on her and just pass on to her, do you understand? But I realized that I needed to be deliberate, and I needed to face my fears if I was going to encourage her to face hers. So, and that's why I just saying yes to more things than putting myself out there, really.
I don't think I can add anything else there. What a brilliant introduction. And surely, I'm sure your children will see that obviously your confidence is growing with everything that you're doing. Absolutely smashing it, continuing to be successful throughout the industry. So I'm very honoured to have you on, and I'm really looking forward to this episode. You mentioned then about your career and a very long career, despite the fact that you quite clearly look like no older than 20. So I'll be tapping you up for tips after that. It's true. I wanted to ask you then, so if you could start your career all over again, but armed with every single bit of knowledge that you've got now, what advice do you think that you'd give to yourself on day one?
I would say pick a company that values the people as much as the work. And I know, like, when I was working as an immigrant, I had a work visa, so I was tied to it. So there wasn't much I could do in relation to jumping about. But if I was in a company that, you know, over time, because I was in different companies, but that valued the people, and I had someone who could like mentor me and help me, you know, build my confidence, and just having people that made me feel like I belong. Because I realized that for my personality, I need to feel like I need to feel valued to give my best self. And I just, some of the environments I found myself, I just didn't feel valued, and I just didn't give my full self. And because of that, I kept getting knocked back. My confidence kept getting, and I guess one of the things is that as an immigrant coming from a country where there's a lot of suffering and there are people that don't have a lot, you just feel you should be grateful for everything you have. And sometimes I let people work all over me, and I'm just realizing I should have stood up more for myself. Really, I really wish I had like an ally, like the Women in Tech SEO Forum then, you know, just now having so many allies, it really helps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think obviously it's different now for yourself, having progressed throughout the industry, but everything that you're doing, including your article about, you know, progression and is the industry progressive, which we'll get onto in a minute, is literally helping future generations of marketers feel like, as you've just mentioned. So yeah, absolutely brilliant. Let's get onto that then. Let's talk about your article about the marketing industry being progressive. My first question for you is, what motivated you to undertake the survey? But before that, if anybody doesn't know about what the survey is, do you mind giving a brief overview about what you did, your motivations to undertake it?
Yeah, so I wrote that article, and is the digital marketing industry progressive? And you can find it on the Erudite Agency blog. I wrote it because I think I find it really ironic when you see, like, there is a new slogan on Twitter, there's a new hashtag, there's a new thing to care about, and then everyone's tweeting, you know. But then, you know, are they really practicing what they preach? Like, things like Black Lives Matter, yes, massively, it's we can be more inclusive about speaking, but then when it came to the actual incident that happened with George Floyd, like, it's out of a lot of our controls. But then I wanted to examine the things that are actually within our control that we can actually make change to. How much change are we making to it? You know, are we really practicing what we preach? You know, so I was examining things like that when I wrote that article. For me, it was like you say this matters, but how about this that's at the back of your door? Are you doing it too? And why I started thinking about that, it was because I was invited for a podcast on diversity and inclusion. And I was, you know, I was going to be asked whether as a Black person, how being Black had affected my career. But I sort of was reflecting on the greatest influence, what has really had an impact on my career. And it was never being Black for me. And I know that this is not everyone's experience. I totally understand that. And I'm empathetic towards that. But for me, I think being a mum had the greatest impact on my career. And so that was what made me, you know, go on this journey to be like, well, I can't be the only one in this boat, and I can't be the only one who is seeing people, you know, talk the talk on social media and not walk in the work, you know. And so I just decided, okay, I'm going to put this out and get feedback from everyone.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. And I'm definitely going to include a link to it in the show notes. I wanted to ask you, so you mentioned, and spoiler alert, we are going to be talking about the article. So if you do want to read it, hit pause now, read the article, and then please come back. You talk about 43% of people who responded to your survey said that being a parent has affected their career progression. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that parents feel that way? What is it about being a parent that you think affects people's career progression?
I think it's still the attitude, because one of the things is that of that 43% who said so, 57 of them, females, said it had affected their career negatively. And it's this, I think it's still the attitude, the gender stereotypes that persist in our society today that says, being a mom, your priorities have changed. You should be at home. Everyone feels that the majority of the childcare and the child raising falls to you. And so they start excluding you from things. And that's just it. You stop being included in things, or people just assume you're tired, or people treat you differently, or maybe people just don't expect you to come back to work. And whoever was doing your role temporarily assume that they will be doing it permanently. And then you come back to a hostile environment. And then people don't know how to support. And sometimes it's not even deliberate. It's just people don't know what they don't know. And so there is no support. If there's no one that has been in that position before, they don't just understand what you need. And companies don't know how to support you. And so that whole environment just creates. I've been in companies where, you know, people came in, they had babies. As I spoke to a marketing manager, I was like, why are you leaving? She was like, yeah, since I came back, everything's changed and everyone just treats me differently. I've almost become invincible. They stop including me in big projects. And I just feel like if I stay here, I'm not going to progress. And this is someone who was head of department when I was just like an exec. And I was like, okay, if she can feel this way and she has this amount of power in that position, how am I going to change anything? You don't feel empowered to do anything about it. So it's all of those kind of things that, yeah, that just made me feel, well, that just made me feel that this is why we are still in this situation, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And you touched on it there about the differences that you got between the responses from the moms and the dads. Do you want to just expand on that a bit more? Why do you think that there's such a difference between the answers that the moms gave compared to the dads?
I think for men, based on the survey and the responses, because I couldn't include like everyone's personal comment, and believe me, I got so many of them, so many personal comments. For men, it's almost seen like a pat on the back and a sense of you've become more responsible. And for a lot of men, they said, well, being a parent, I got career progression, because most of the men in my office could talk to me about their kids, and it was all of this kind of, you know, so they felt like, oh, you're more responsible. I know back in the days it used to be like, oh, for you to become a bank manager, you must be married and have a child, you know, that kind of stuff, because, yeah, and that kind of mentality of, oh, this person's ready to, he's settled down, you know. Whereas for the women, it's so different in how the coin flips and is like, well, you know, you have a child and all of those kind of things. Yeah, it's so different. There were still men who felt, you know, pressure, and they felt pressure to work late. And so there were men that had, you know, had negative experience where they still felt pressure to work late, pressure to go out and work drinks. But the women said they just stopped being asked. So the men were still asked, and they felt pressure to continue. The women just, no one's asking you anymore, because everyone's just decided what your priorities should be. So it's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And having read your article, a lot of it is really eye-opening. And I've already said it, and I'll say it again. I strongly urge that listeners go and read this article. And you mentioned it yourself there about sort of juggling priorities and people with different sort of seniority levels at work. What impact did job seniority and career level have on the data? So did you see differences between people of, like, say, a lower rank within the company compared to a more senior rank? What impact did you see?
I think the greatest difference, I think the most impactful information I got, depending on seniority, is how of the people who had to leave, 25% have gone on to become like MDs and owners of agencies. And then, you know, 34% just persevered and are now like senior managers and stuff like that. So it's just, I think for me, it was more about, wow, companies are losing so much talent because they're not taking care of their staff. They're not recognizing what people need in the workforce. And they're feeling like, well, these people should be at home. However, these people don't just drop off and, you know, go at home and stay with their kids. They go to a different company or they set up their own. And they're making agencies work for them. They're still making money. So you've gotten this person to this point. Maybe you've trained that person, joined as a junior staff. You've trained them. And then you're losing all of this talent at this level just because you're not recognizing that they need something else from the company.
Yeah, absolutely. You're raising some really valid points. And I'm just sitting here nodding my head away. I wanted to ask you then, so when you're looking at this data, all the data that you've collected and you're analysing the results, out of all of them, what would you say was the result that shocked you the most?
I would say it's still the amount of people that had gone on and the amount of talent that companies were losing because people just left and started their own agency or left and went freelance and managed to make work for them, and how much companies are losing female talent. And you know, it was quite outstanding to me. And there were also dads as well that had left and started up their own thing or went freelance. It wasn't just unique to women, but it's just amazing how much talent companies are losing. Then they have to start this whole recruitment process again. They probably pay someone more, because it's always the case when they bring someone new in that they pay the person more. And yeah, that was what shocked me the most. It wasn't like, okay, I just got tired of work and excuse me, and I just left and stopped working and went to look after my kids. Is that, no, I got angry and I made something better. You know, I went to a different company and I made it work for me. So yeah, it's interesting that companies are not realizing how much talent they're losing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm fully on board with everything that you're saying. And sadly, we are coming to the end of this podcast, but I do have a couple more questions for you. And I'm going to put you on the spot now because I haven't prepared you for any of these. So I always do this. Anyone who listens to the show, I always send my guests a couple of questions and then I'll just put you on the spot and ask you some questions. So in terms of the pandemic and COVID, what sort of impact do you think that will have on parents in the workplace now?
Oh God, don't get me started. I think a lot of parents will have a lot of mental health issues. Any company that is not supporting their staff, and not just parents, but their staff mentally in this global pandemic, is getting it totally, totally wrong. If you value your people more than the work, they will be loyal to you. It's the amount of loyalty that, like, if you value them. At the start of the pandemic, like, my boss said, was like, you access to mental health counseling, to confidence support, no questions asked. And that's what every company should be doing. Like, you should be thinking, because if you support me, then I will feel loyal to you. I will feel you value me, and I will want to give them the most. I want to give my best to the company, because I think parents, one of the things that stops us from speaking up about this is because, I mean, parenting is a life choice. I choose to have a child, and then you sort of feel guilty that, you know, but then we are part of the ecosystem, and it's all including if you want a diverse culture at work. Because one of the things that I struggled with is not having someone at work I could relate to as a mentor. There were no senior people who were parents. They'd all just left or did something. Just so there was no one I could talk to. There was no one who could mentor me. And if you're saying that you're interested in my progression, I need to have almost like a lookalike audience that I can relate to. And if you're driving all of these people out of the workforce, I mean, you need diverse audience. You need someone to be able to see, oh, that's not going to appeal to parents in your advertising campaign. That's not, you know. So it's all of these things that we need to see. And sometimes as parents, because it's my lifestyle choice, we get, you know, you don't want to speak up for the fear that there's someone else that doesn't have it. But then employers need to recognize that everyone is different in what they need to thrive. and parents are juggling school, you're juggling kids. You saw my kids coming because they've been just trying to get me to watch a movie with it. Like, it can be really draining. It can be really draining. And if you don't have a company that's going to allow you to be flexible, to say, okay, you can spend, if you need to homeschool to three, you know, you can walk late. Just make work for you. So far, the work is being done. The clients are not suffering. This being tied to your desk 9 to 5, you know, that kind of thing, it doesn't work in this pandemic. And employers need to, you know, they need to be able to understand that. And I can see a lot of them are, but there's still some that I can tell you that a lot of my friends that would thought they were really, really strong have all had to have some form of counselling. Everyone's just, I've had counselling in pandemic because I got to a point where I just it was like too many plates, everything spinning. And it's not something we should be ashamed of. And it's, you know, everyone struggles sometimes. You just can't get too much.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, couldn't agree with you more. And I think I'm probably phrasing this the wrong way, but I suppose one of the positives coming out, one of the very few positives, I should say, coming out of the working environment in the pandemic is that people are taking access and making use of counselling, where, in my opinion, certainly, feel free to disagree, but before the pandemic, there was a sort of stigma around it. You'd be seen as weak if you sought counselling or spoke to a counsellor. But given this situation that we're in, I hate the word, but I'm going to say unprecedented situation that we're in, people are taking more and more advantage of using a counsellor. And I think it's brilliant. So there's absolutely no shame in doing that at all. So yeah, fantastic. And I think you've led me on very nicely to one of my final questions for you. So imagine you've got a magic wand, right? And you can make some changes to this industry, like boom, straight away. What changes do you want to see the industry make to ensure that there is this equality that you're talking about? What would you like to see in an ideal world? What can be done?
I would like to see more senior, like, people, you know, agency owners and all of that, step up as mentors. I would like to see a lot more of them step up as mentors and be, you know, just don't be an ally in your tweets and your posts. Be an ally with your time. You can make a world of, a lot of people think, oh, mentoring, I have to answer questions, you know, I have to teach someone how to do a technical. No, you don't. You just need to be there for someone and say, you can do this. Go ahead. Like, dedicate, you know, 30 minutes every 2 weeks to speak. It makes a world of difference. It makes so much difference. Like, you might think, well, what do I have to, I don't have to, but just 30 minutes to sit down with someone who says, you know, I don't know how to address this with my manager. And you can specify, I don't want to go into like how to use analytics and stuff. I just want to be a sounding board for someone, because you have so much wealth of experience. I'm a Christian, and there's something that we say is like, the labor of the foolish makes everyone weary because they don't know where to go. Some people don't just know that you can go here and apply to speak and you would be accepted. They just don't, because they've never had anyone show them the way. It's as simple as that. Like, I have met people where I really don't think I did anything. I just sat down and listened, and they're like, oh my God, you've changed my life. I'm like, okay. It's really easy. It's, you know, people, I see a lot of people, I just don't think I have, I don't just, because people feel like someone would want them to teach them something, but just having someone who has achieved something listen to you and tell you that I'm not that special. And that's why what Obama said just resonated with me. It's like, I'm just an ordinary person who went in, and just having someone like, well, I'm not special, I made mistakes, you can do it, makes a world of difference to people. And I would, that's what I would like to see more people do.
Absolutely brilliant. And a fine way to come, sadly, towards the end of this podcast. This has been absolutely brilliant, miracle as expected. If anybody wants to find out more about you or to get in touch with you or follow you on social media, what's the best way they can do that?
So I'm on Twitter at Mira_Inam. And my website, I know I deliberately made it my name so everyone has to like it. Because that's my identity. It's Miracle Inamity Archibong. And I'm on the Erudite blog. So do do check me out. LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. And then, as always, this is the part where I now shut up and give my guest the final word on the podcast. So within reason, say what you like, your episode, you can end it however you want. Thank you for being a brilliant guest.
I just wanted to say that, you know, whilst I was doing my counselling course, I was looking at the Equalities Act, and I actually realised that setting a meeting after work hours when parents are not available is discrimination. And it's a protected right under the law. So that's an interesting one for a lot of employers to think about.
So that was another great episode in the bag. I'm really enjoying hearing from some brilliant people in this industry. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow me on Spotify. Please leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you are using. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and hopefully see you for the next episode.